This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
In studio with us this morning, we have Assessor of Property, Rob Mitchell. Rob, how are you today?
Doing good. I'm kind of recovering a little bit from the holiday stuff here with not knowing what I'm supposed to be doing or where I'm supposed to be at. Whole routine has been upset for midweek with this, with the holidays falling in the middle of the week.
Yeah, and you know, whenever Christmas rolls, well, actually, start of Thanksgiving going into Christmas and then New Year's, it is kind of a hectic upside down time, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is. And trying to make sure that you get everything you're supposed to get, be everywhere you're supposed to be, not have anybody feel like they've been left out. But you know, it's a good time. It's not really, shouldn't be about the gifts. It becomes that way. But I think just spending time with family is what's really important. You know, make a memory. The toys and stuff and the gifts, they'll wear out, be forgotten, or just become fodder for a hoarder's paradise like my upstairs attic. But the memories stay.
You know, I think my favorite time of the year, because I know you're curious, it's Thanksgiving, just because it's not a, I mean, we don't have those gifts there to get in the way. We don't have all those extra things. And Thanksgiving is just, even though it is kind of hectic as well, as far as preparing food and everything, it is a little more relaxing.
Oh, yeah. And there are people who probably hate me for this, but I've been hated for worse. My favorite part of Thanksgiving is dressing.
Oh, the dressing, yeah.
The dressing. My grandmother used to make, she's from West Virginia, and up there they make dressing patties.
Hmm.
They form it into hamburger-like patties, and then they dip it in egg to hold it together, and then they bake it in the oven. And the reason that they did that was when my granddad was a miner, when they would go back into the mines, everything that was in their lunch boxes, you had to be able to grab with your hand and eat. So the dressing patties like that, they could pick it up and eat. They could have turkey sandwiches that they could pick up and eat. So that was a way of extending leftovers and making it practical for miners. So
I bet that's
just
good.
That's just, oh, it's delicious. And then you melt some cheese over top of it.
Huh. Oh. I'll have to try that one here. That would be a good thing. Yeah, I can see it would be great.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
And cold turkey sandwiches, those are good, too.
Oh, yeah. I like eating cold pizza.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with it.
It's easy, too.
Yeah.
So what happens this time of year in the Assessor of Property's office?
We're wrapping everything up. Of course, the assessment notices already went out, and they were sent to the municipalities and to the county. The municipalities, City of Murfreesboro, their taxes, the property taxes come due in the City of Murfreesboro on the 31st. They won't be considered late in the county until after March the 1st.
Okay. Now, we were talking off the air about one of the new things that I guess some states are doing, and it could actually be a thing here in Tennessee as well. And it could hurt a lot of families, really, because you're talking about what, and I guess first explain what it is.
Well, I mean, there's multiple things going on here. Of course, there are five counties in Tennessee where growth is a tremendous issue. Rutherford County, Davidson, Williamson, Wilson, Shelby, Knox, Hamilton. Those are the ones that it is urgent. And revenue is an issue. Now, the Article 2, Section 28 of the Constitution of Tennessee says that all residential property will be classified for tax purposes at 25% of its value. And that was established back in 1972 at the Constitutional Convention, that they would go through and that they would, this would be an appropriate value to place. Some states will levy taxes on 100% of the value of the property. And they do it across the board. If it's commercial, if it's residential, it does not matter.
So but basically, if you have a $400,000 house, then it's going to be taxed at $100,000.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It'll be assessed for tax purposes on $100,000 of its value in Tennessee. In another state, it'd be assessed at, like, Nebraska. They're 100%. So you would be levied, a tax would be levied on on $400,000. So the taxes are much higher. I have a friend that lives in, he lived in Ohio, and they had to pay their property taxes. His house was worth the same amount as mine, but he was paying four times as much in property taxes.
Wow.
And he had to pay them actually twice a year because he couldn't afford to write a check all at once. So he paid it to the county and the cities twice a year. And that's not uncommon. That's why Tennessee is so attractive. Now, for people to move here, that's why we're growing, because we are a very low tax state. We're very efficient in our use of tax dollars. That does put a strain on infrastructure, and revenue has to be raised. So the way that you do it, you raise the tax rate, or you request an impact fee be put in. Now, because market values have risen so much, it's difficult for first-time buyers to come up with a down payment to purchase a home, because home ownership is the best way to increase wealth. No doubt about it. It is better than commercial to build community wealth. People say, well, we're going to abate property taxes, and somebody's going to put up warehouses, so we're going to give them $100 million in property tax concessions over 100 years to build warehouses. Now, that means that you and I, we're making up that difference in property taxes that have to be paid for that large investor, and that's an actual case. So is that fair? I think a corporation can pay its own taxes personally. And they are assessed for taxes at a higher rate. They're assessed at 40% commercial. Now, real estate investment trusts that Rutherford County's kind of been spot zero because we're close to Davidson County, and we do have the most affordable property values in all of the Donut County surrounding. Property is more affordable here than it is in Wilson, than it is in Sumner, than it is in Williamson by far. So, I mean, the average house in Williamson County starts at about $1 million. That's their median value. With us, it's somewhere around $450,000, which has come up quite a bit from when I first took office 12 years ago.
Yeah, a lot's changed.
You know, a whole lot has changed. So, you know, as things change, market forces come into place, and businesses try to find ways to capitalize on the market. That's what capitalism is. So they've got the resources to buy the property and to rent it out. Now, the question comes, they're providing housing. The companies never pay taxes in residential. Let's get that on the table, because property taxes are a tenant pass-through expense. Anything that's in a property tax, whether you're renting out an office building, you don't pay those taxes. You transfer the collection of those. You collect those property taxes, and you will pass them through to the government. That's an expense that is borne by the tenant through the rent. So every apartment complex, every condo, every townhome, every single family residential rental property in Rutherford County, the people who live in those structures are paying property taxes. Now, if they are living in an apartment complex, they are paying property taxes at a 40% rate. That is why the average two-bedroom, two-bath apartment is going to go north of $1,200 a month. And that's high. That is That is very high. Now, that goes, so, you know, folks that say, well, apartment complexes, they're causing a demand on infrastructure. Well, yes, they are, but they're also paying higher taxes. Well, then where do you go looking? You look and you say, well, we have single family residences that are paying 25%. They're being assessed for tax at 25% for residential. They're getting a benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that they are. Their rent is also a lot of times more affordable, or they're getting a little larger house because they have a bigger family. Now, the push being, and this is all administrative court-made law, and there's conflicting court-made law, is to say these residential houses that house a family must be, if they're rental property, must be assessed at 40% commercial, as they're owned, not as they are being used. And in Tennessee, you're valued on the use of the property. Is it being used as a home for a family? Yes. Then it's appropriate to classify that at 25%. There are others who disagree with that, and I respect their disagreement. I think it gets away from the original intent of fractional classification of properties. The General Assembly, when it rewrote the Constitution, said that if a family lives in it, it's not a business, it's a home. And we realize that the people living there are ultimately going to pay the property tax. And the members of the General Assembly in 1972 decided that if it is a place that you raise a family, the community has a responsibility and benefits from a family not being stressed to where they'll have to resort to other means and create poor citizens. We all know that poverty, and you have done a magnificent job through your video series and of seeing how poverty impacts the futures of families and communities. And by going for an administrative tax increase that is not transparent, the citizens don't get to vote on it. It's just administratively done to raise revenue, is going to hurt families. And so, I just believe that's wrong.
So this push out there would be for, let's say Joe Smith out there, he owns four rental properties he bought over the last 20, 30 years that he purchased with the idea of, this is going to be my retirement. I'm going to work these four rental properties and receive X amount of dollars each month. All of a sudden, he's going to have to increase the rent on those properties because he's going to have to cover his cost of paying not 25% in property tax, but instead 40%+ mm-hmm. in property tax.
Right.
That's a big difference
it is.
Each year.
It's inflationary because now these people that are living in these homes,
the rent's going to have to go up to cover that.
Their rent is going to go up, and they're going to have to demand higher pay in order to cover their rent. Their standard of living has not increased. Arguably, it's gone down because the inflationary impact of housing across the entire market can be devastating to a community. Because then what happens is you have these large companies that will come in and they say, we will build affordable housing if you, the community, give us a tax break. So the community says, hey, if we give them a tax break, they'll build affordable housing. Well, what do they do with that tax break? You and I make up the difference for this company that's getting the tax break. And they can take those tax credits and sell the tax credits.
So this leaves Joe Smith, who owns his four rental properties, in the hole even more so, because he's now having to compete with these great big apartment complexes that come in who are still paying maybe 20% in taxes, property taxes, at the end of the year because they're getting a tax break for building there.
That's right. That's right.
That's tough.
It's a hustle. It is a hustle. And we have some very, very well-meaning local officials that have been misdirected, I believe.
Well, is this already a done deal? Are these rental properties, the owners of them, all going to have to pay an increase in property taxes of 40% instead of 20-25%?
There are assessors out there that are resisting this. This has been one of those turn up the temperature on the water so that people, you know, the frog doesn't know it's being cooked.
Yeah.
You know, type of deals. You know, they're... I understand why it's happening. It's happening as a way to raise revenue. That is not the job of the property assessors. That's why the assessors are not the tax collectors.
Well,
they were very clear with separating this. We're just to do value and equity and make sure that the tax burden is distributed among all classes in an equitable manner. But we also have a moral responsibility to our community to look and say, this is not right. I mean, a discussion that you and I had right here at WGNS, actually two. One of them was eliminating the state property tax, which in 26, the citizens will be able to vote to eliminate the state property tax, which was... for all practical purposes, removed in 1946 because they just stopped collecting it when they put the sales tax in, which they continued to move up. But they never took it off the table. So one of the conversations that came out over here when you and I were talking, I was asked about it, and I looked at it, and I said, well, you know what? We don't really have a state property tax, but it is in the Constitution. So Senator Dawn White, when she was a representative, she took it up there and she lobbied for it, and it is now passed one General Assembly last year. It'll go up for a vote this next year to remove it, and then in 26 the citizens will be able to vote on amending the Constitution just like they did with the income tax, removing the state from keeping the state from collecting a property tax too. Property taxes should be local. The state has other ways of raising money. So, you know, we have to look out for families. We have to fight for families, and we have to fight for fairness.
So right now, as it stands in Rutherford County, residential property, both, you know, owned individually by whatever family lives there, and the residential property that's rented out to families, those are taxed at 25%, and the argument here is to instead tax those, the ones that are rental properties, tax those at 40%.
Right.
But right now, all those residential properties stand at 25% in property tax.
Right.
But that could change. Any idea on when that could change
It could change after the first of the year. We've been receiving pressure administratively to change that. It's litigious.
It sounds like it.
and it's cumbersome, and I'm afraid that what may end up happening if we don't get community support for this, if the citizens start making phone calls and telling the members of the General Assembly and their county commissioners that this is simply wrong, if they need to raise revenue, there are other and better ways to do it.
Now, what I still do not understand, and it's hard to grasp, is those families out there where they are in their early 20s and they're literally buying their first house or attempting to, how in the world did they afford to get that start, to actually start that life, start that family? Because right now with homes, you know, it's hard to find a $400,000 house even.
It is.
How do they afford to pay these mortgages that amount to, you know, $3,000 a month for a $400,000 home, which feels like, still to me, a $200,000 home or less?
Yeah. In order to make the down payments, they have to find affordable housing that they can rent or live with family. so that they can save money for the down payment.
Yeah, because
if you raise the rent up, they will never be able to acquire the necessary funds to buy their own home, and they will forever be trapped as a renter, and they will be paying the 40%, and the counties will be at 40% higher rate, and the counties and cities will collect the tax dollars, and the landlord simply passes that cost through to them. They will never be able to afford to buy a home and pass on wealth to the next generations. So, and that is at the core of it. Do we really care? You know, forget about the real estate investment trusts, the REITs. They're simply a different, they're a big landlord. But the bottom line is any landlord passes through the cost. Do we want people to forever be renters, or do we want them to be able to afford a home? Now, the state can, through legislation, they can grant homestead exemptions like they do in Florida. They can expand the classification systems as they do in Florida and Indiana, to include different types of property and assess them for taxes at different rates to encourage and promote home ownership. Currently, the current system and the current mindset, unfortunately, seems to be we just want more tax dollars to buy X, Y, and Z. And I'm not saying that X, Y, and Z aren't needed, but it is the people that pay for it. And we have to get away from the regressivity in our mindset, giving tax breaks on one hand to large, wealthy corporations, and then on the other hand, turning around and taxing the little guy until they can't afford to have Christmas, until Christmas is a real, real struggle. And it stresses people out because they want to give their children and their family the big Christmas, but to do so, they go in deeper into debt, and it financially stresses them out, and it causes family issues. I know you've seen it.
Yeah, and you know, right now, when you try to wrap your head around a first-time home buyer, and if they have to put down 10%, I remember my first home, I think I put down maybe $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
But right now in this day and age, if you put down 10% on a $400,000 house, that's what, 40 grand. And if you,
yeah.
If the bank requires 20%, like most banks do, that's $80,000. It would feel like this is something that's out of reach. I'll never be able to save up 80 grand when I'm 20 years old starting my first job.
And that's the reality. People, I couldn't afford that right now.
Yeah.
I could not. I could not afford to buy a home in Rutherford County and make the down payment on loan.
Or the monthly payment at $3,000 a month for a lot of what you'd call a starter home.
Yeah, and then how are you going to be able to save it? And these are the real conversations that our county commission and our city councils need to be looking at. How do we, they have to separate, they have to have a vision for what they want this community to be and what they want it to mean for families to live here. And then find a way, the mantra, make growth pay for itself. That's a catchphrase. It's a catchphrase. It really, what does it mean? It means we want to tax people at a higher rate if they move here now. If somebody moves here now, let's get more money from the new people coming in than we do everybody else because they're moving here now. That is the most undemocratic, improper thought process. We need to find a way to make the community accessible and affordable for everyone to build wealth. And I believe we can do that. We just have to be more creative.
We got to take a short break, and then we'll be right back again. In studio with us today, we have property assessor Rob Mitchell, Rutherford County property assessor. And when we do come back, I want to talk a little bit more about these, let's say, hedge fund companies that come in and buy 10, 20 properties on one street, because that's actually happening out there.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to take a short break, and then we will be right back with Rob Mitchell. Stay with us. Time right now, 8:44.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
When I eat healthy, I can eat at Demas's. When I want to eat unhealthy, I can eat at Demas's. If I'm in the mood for pasta, I go to Demas's. If I want steak, I go there. It does not matter what I'm in the mood for. This is Peter Demas. The only thing we don't have is fried food. So it's very easy when you want to take a group out and there's that veto power person who's like, I don't want this. Well, we usually will have something that they want because we have such variety on our menu. The only thing we don't have is fried food. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Here at Music World and Drummer's Den, we've got the best drum and percussion brands in the world. Ludwig, Gretsch, Pearl, Yamaha, Zildjian, Meinl, DW. We've got a great lesson program for guitar, bass, drums, piano, and more. Hi, this is Dave Kiviniemi. Give us a call, 615-893-4242 to get started. Music World and Drummer's Den in Murfreesboro. 2762 South Church Street, across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
Alan Butcher.
Well, the thing I like about Adams Place is that when you come here, you're coming to a complete healthcare system. You start off in independent living, and then if you need additional care, you go to assisted living. And we also have a memory unit and a rehab unit.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111.
Adams Place on Memorial, across from Walmart.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. All those friends you've made while banking here over the years, well, they're still there. And so are the delicious, warm, homemade cookies.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Everything you enjoyed at Capstar, still there at Old National Bank. Old National Bank, ready to serve you.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Rutherford County Property Assessor Rob Mitchell in studio with us this morning, and we're talking about houses and housing and property taxes and all that stuff. But another big problem that we're seeing, and you kind of alluded to that whenever we were talking about property taxes, but these big companies, hedge fund company or hedge funds, the trust and everything, coming in and buying multiple properties and turning them into rental houses. Now that is happening here locally.
Oh yeah. Real estate investment trusts, which are a legal construct that is used by hedge funds to invest money in. A real estate investment trust, you or I or anybody else, if it's corporately traded, one could buy stock in it. And then what they agree to do is the money that we invest, they will go out and they'll buy commercial real estate and lease it out, or residential real estate, which has just happened in the last 10 years when it happened immediately after the Great Recession, when property values dropped. They came in and bought it up. Now, there is historical precedence for this that most people don't realize. During the Great Depression, when farmers were going bankrupt and couldn't afford the mortgages on their farm, there weren't real estate investment trusts and there weren't hedge funds. There were insurance companies, and insurance companies were cash flush. Insurance companies bought up most of the property in middle America, in the Midwest, and owned the farm property. And they held it until the market recovered, and then they sold it back to people. So they bought low, they held on to it, and they sold when the market recovered. The real estate investment trusts, when the market crashed, they bought it, they bought the properties. People still needed to have a place to live, and they turned it into rental property. They hold on to it. Now, by statute, by law, they can only hold on to a book of business 10 years. At the end of that 10 years, they're required by law to liquidate. So they will have to sell that property at whatever prevailing rate they want to sell it at. Now, they can sell it at the market rate, or they may sell it at a loss to another real estate investment trust, even themselves. They could sell it back to themselves through another subsidiary, take a paper loss over here for tax purposes, for tax benefits. Now, what does that do to our market? We go off of market sales. So we would, the tendency would be to take a look at that. If they sell it and they sell it as a lot, that establishes a new market, which means it is possible that the market rates of the properties in that area would now stop going up. They would start to go down, which means the county would then have to turn around and raise the property tax rate in order to have the same revenue.
And for anybody out there who's been to an investment person of some sort, if that person is, you know, more of a salesman than an investor type mm-hmm. of a guy, then they are going to be familiar with these type of trust, because I'm sure they've heard, if they've said the words, you know, hey, I'm thinking about investing in, you know, some type of mutual fund. Then also I'm thinking about buying a rental property to rent out, and that's going to be part of my investment portfolio. Then that investment person says, oh, wait, I've got the perfect investment for you. This company comes in and they buy and they own investment properties and rent them out, so you don't have to do the headache of going to get that rent every month. And then what they're actually buying into is one of these investment trusts.
That's it.
That's coming into towns like Murfreesboro, buying multiple properties and then charging whatever they want for rent. And it could be a monopoly in rent in some towns, depending on how many rental properties are there.
Right. If you don't have a structure to allow, if you don't have a Bailey Building and Loan like they did in It's a Wonderful Life, you don't have anyone that is able to give a potential home buyer the opportunity for home ownership, because they cannot afford to go to the bank and pay 10-20% down. An alternative funding method, if you know, that might be out there, might permit them to get in with 5% down, which would still be a heavy load at $400,000 or $500,000 home.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a tremendous amount to have to come up with. But if you're paying $2,000 a month rent, how can you ever afford to pay for gas at $2.65 a gallon, to pay for a dozen eggs at, you know, $2.65 to $3 a gallon? A dozen, and they're getting smaller. What used to be an extra large egg looks to me like what I call medium.
Yeah, everything has changed in price so much over the years, and everything has gotten so expensive. You know, that whole idea of, you know, your house, your mortgage is your biggest investment in, well, throughout your life. That's going to be your biggest burden right there, the cost of your house. But we've gotten to a point now where people, they don't even think, hey, you know, I'm going to pay off this house and retire. Instead, it's the thought process of, I'm always going to have a house payment of some sort. So people keep refinancing to where they're 70 years old and they've got a 30-year loan in front of them.
Yep.
It's changed the way people think. The cost of things has totally changed society, and the cost of a house has changed it the most, I think.
It is. I mean, we have $60,000-$70,000 cars.
Yeah.
That people have to finance for 8 or 9 years.
And these are Toyotas and Nissans.
And yeah. And there's discussion about Nissan and Honda merging.
Yeah.
And what's that going to do? Because, you know, there was Nissan is currently appealing their property values. When they were originally assessed on their original 40-year pilot agreement that was established when they came in 83, 82, was for 40 years. They self-valued their property at $650 million. And they paid payments in lieu of taxes, a pilot payment, to the city of Smyrna and to Rutherford County based on $650 million. They have now come back and their contention is that property that they valued at over $600 million the year before the pilot expired is now worth $330 million.
Hmm.
They believe it's worth half as much as they self-valued it the prior year.
How is that?
Good point. Now, What does that do to Rutherford County? That's $300 million in value that we will not get taxes on at 40%. So that also establishes an economic base for future pilot agreements. So if Rutherford County does not prevail and $330 million is the value that the administrative law judge decides is the appropriate value, or Chancery Court if it's appealed beyond that, when they come to the Industrial Development Board of Rutherford County and say, we need a pilot agreement to do X, Y, and Z, and it'll be based on the market value for assessment purposes, they will base everything on $330 million, which is a lower base than $650 million. So anything that's abated in exchange for not having to pay property taxes is going to be less. And you and I and everybody, every renter that rents an apartment, every property owner, every other business that pays a tangible personal property tax on the equipment in their business is picking up that $300 million difference. And that is an unnecessary stressor to place on a community. Yeah. These are the mechanics of, people don't understand so much of how the mechanics of government and government finance actually comes about. It's not about a short slogan. It's not about a, I got you here or I got you there. It's about real things. We have to protect and create a community that celebrates our families and makes having a family and giving a family the opportunity to own a home that when they pass, that home's value can be distributed amongst the children and heirs to give the next generation a transfer of wealth that will lift the family up rather than lift up the coffers of businesses.
Now, where do we stand today? I know we don't have a lot of time left, but the average, or is there an average cost of a starter home right now in Rutherford County, or do we even have something that would be priced in that range of starter home?
It depends on what a starter home in Rutherford County, it is very difficult to find anything for under $350,000.
I mean, townhomes are going for $400,000 right now.
Yeah.
So what, that standalone house on the corner then, you know, in XYZ neighborhood that used to be made up of houses that cost $125,000, those are houses that are now $400,000.
Yeah. The first house that my wife and I ever bought over in the Florence community that was built in a sinkhole, we paid $63,000 for it. It's now, according to market reports, it's valued at about $360,000. So that's $300,000 additional dollars since we bought in 1989. That one little 1,450 square foot home on a 3/4 acre lot in the county with a septic system is worth, and it's vinyl siding. Yeah, you know, that for me was a starter home. It was a reach for us when we were starting out. You know, $63,000. They had the flexible loans where they adjusted up, but those homes, those type of homes, $350,000, if you don't have the down payment, if you don't have $30,000 down, you're not getting into that kind of home.
Yeah. Things have changed a lot, and we're already out of time here.
I'm sorry.
But Rob Mitchell on the air with us this morning, assessor of property, and to keep up to date with all this going on, do you guys post information about these proposed tax increases and whatnot on any certain page?
We've got information about everyone's homes on www.rcpatn.com. There is, they can call me at the office if they have any questions about anything. I can't promise I'll always pick up, but I'll always get back to them. And that's 615-898-7750. Or they can call me on my personal phone, which is 615-426-7373.
You're tuned to WGNS Murfreesboro Local News right now.